This is Michael Edward Miller for WUTC's Around and About Chattanooga. First thing on the show today, we've got a conversation with a soul singer who's performed everywhere from the Coke stage at Riverbend to NPR's Tiny Desk. And on December 14th, he and his band will be at Track 29. Paul Janeway is the lead singer of St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Their first album was released in 2014 and garnered critical acclaim from Paste Magazine, Rolling Stone, and NPR. Their newest album is Sea of Noise. It came out in September of this year. I'm speaking with Paul Janeway. Crumbling like gold in a sea of noise. The opening track, Crumbling Light Posts. You say we're just crumbling light in a sea of noise. I think that's such an interesting juxtaposition, light versus noise. Tell me about that specific lyric.
Well, it actually, I wish I could take full credit. It comes from the idea of a Winston Churchill quote. I read a lot of nonfiction for some strange reason. And I was reading a FDR, Winston Churchill biography thing, and this quote that just kind of stood out to me as he was talking. The image that came to my mind, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was basically saying that England in the time that Germany was invading and bombing them was that England was a crumbling lighthouse in a sea of darkness. We're just crumbling light posts. Crumbling light posts in a sea of noise. And I always thought that's a really fascinating image. You know, I just thought it was just really fascinating. And so I thought when we started writing the record, started doing the record, that was just something that stood out to me, is that you know, just in general, it can go as far as you want it to go and as shallow as you want it to go. and so I just thought that was just an interesting kind of theme throughout the record.
In recent interviews, you've mentioned that you drew inspiration for your band's latest record after you saw the painting The Death of Murat in the Royal Museum of Fine Arts in Brussels. What specifically about that image helped you to shape Sea of Noise?
Really, that was just a profound moment I had with a piece of art. And the thing for me is, like, approaching, there's just things about, I think, modern times, where we're all trying to capture the moment, but we're so busy trying to do it that we don't realize when there is a moment, you know, with our phones or with our, you know, technology and all kinds of things. And just kind of being able to sit back and feel something, you know, feel something real, instead of trying to hide behind a camera phone or something like that. We don't just leave experiences to ourselves anymore, and it's a bizarre thing. And with that painting, I got to have a moment, this amazing moment, and I was extremely happy about that. Oh, but I wanna feel
sundering. What are some of the things, in addition to art, that make you feel like you're having a real, authentic experience rather than something, you know, mediated by technology?
Obviously art that way. Probably professional wrestling. I get a lot of joy out of that.
Oh, wow.
I'm actually a pretty big pro wrestling fan, bizarrely. That's the one thing, my wife hates it, but it's the one thing that I get some sort of real, you know, like real joy out of. And in my life, so it's been so kind of chaotic and crazy that anytime I can find those things, just a very genuine, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Feeling. I get a lot of joy out of that. I'm trying to think what else things. I mean, anytime you meet with people that you have a conversation with, and you kind of, you know, you have that moment of that. And then music, of course. There's moments of just like genuine joy or sadness or anything that really hits you in the right spot. Oh, but now I wanna feel something real.
The name of your group, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, I get the idea that it wasn't your thought to call yourself St. Paul. Where did that name come from?
It was not my idea. I didn't want my name in the band at all, to be honest. But Jesse, who is kind of the architect of the name, basically was like, Paul, you know, it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek, because I don't smoke or drink alcohol or anything like that. So he thought it was, you know, cute, I guess. So little did we know that it was going to stick. And so here we are.
And you grew up in a fairly strict Christian household. You listened to gospel. You listened to some soul music. How much did you rebel? Because I know there's that cliche about, for example, the preacher's kids being the worst ones on a Friday night.
Actually, not at all. To be honest, I really didn't rebel much at all. I was a pretty good kid. I didn't like school very much. That was the one thing. That's probably the only place I barely got out of high school. And you know, you learn your lesson about that you know, it's hard enough to do things with a college degree, much less about a high school degree. So you know. But that was about the only place, you know, I didn't like being told what I was supposed to do in school for some reason, you know. That's what I did. I didn't go to any parties or anything like that. I wasn't a social butterfly. I wasn't hated or anything, but I just kind of kept to myself a lot. And whenever the church doors were open, I was in them.
And you were preaching, you were singing. How much of your singing developed because of what you were doing in church?
I think the passion and kind of what I thought what a good voice was and things like that, certainly, learning to go 100% full out is definitely part of it. I also, you know, preaching, you know, you learn kind of how to read an audience, how to, you know, the rhythm of that, which is really important. I guess, you know, it's really important, especially now. I never thought, you know, didn't think it would come to practice, but it certainly did. Certainly does with this, what I do now.
You grew up in a household where you weren't allowed to listen to Nirvana. Now that you're an adult, what are you listening to beyond gospel and soul? What's influencing you outside of those genres?
Oh, now it's it's kind of a little bit of a lot of things. Let's see, what have I listened to? I've listened to everything from like what was it? I was listening to Fabrizio, an Italian artist. I love, you know, something like, you know, Chance the Rapper and Kendrick Lamar, that kind of thing. I listen to a lot of things. It's kind of, because I didn't listen to a lot of stuff growing up, I feel like I'm still playing catch up in a lot of ways. And so I just kind of devour music. And nowadays, I typically fall in love with about four new records a year. I just fall in love with, that's not the hard number, but it's kind of where I'm at. And so I just get obsessed with them, figure out who produced them, you know, who's playing on them, what did this. So I was to a lot of things now.
When you're looking at things like who produced them, are you looking for things you can use in your own music, or is it more just kind of a curiosity?
It's more of a curiosity. Sometimes, honestly, now it is a little more like, well, this record sounds really good. You know, like it is a little more that now than it was probably back in the day. because this is actually what I do for a living. So I you know, now I do. If I really love the way a record sounds, I mean, that's how we, for the new records, how we got Paul Butler. Jesse, our bass player, really loved the way the Michael Kiminuka record sounded, and started researching the guy, and it's like, you know, that's how that happened. So that's kind of how we, you know, how we operate.
Velvet fist and look good while everyone is slinging mud. Jesus found his politics, but nobody lives on.
The song All I Ever Wonder, one of the lyrics says, Jesus found his politics, but nobody listens. And when I hear that lyric, and I think probably when a lot of people hear that lyric, you immediately think of the presidential election that just ended. I mean, what was the election on your mind at all when you wrote that? What did you mean by that?
Well, at the time, there was no Trump, really. It was still kind of, everyone was still kind of like, okay, I bet he's going to run. So when I wrote that song, which was over a year ago, for me, the kind of the meaning behind it is just, you know, for me, I've always been attracted to the side of, you know, Jesus found his politics. For some reason, religion gets into politics. I think that's really bizarre. They're not good bedfellows. And I find it really fascinating to me because it's something that if you really look at, you know, love and humility and really, you know, giving of yourself, well, that really is, if that's, you want to make it political, that is the politics, and there isn't a lot of people doing that.
Yeah. Another line in that song, love goes, hate goes, now I am left alone. It's sung in this crescendo. It's sung in this very triumphant manner, but it sounds like it's a really kind of sad line. I am left all alone. What did you mean by that? Did you mean that in a kind of depressing way?
Yeah, bizarrely enough, there's not a lot of light on this record.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a hopeful record. I've tried to, you know, I mean, that's what we actually, it was really funny. When we were writing everything, I tried to tell everybody, I was like, look, you know, some people are not going to listen to the lyrics and not care, you know, because the music can be somewhat upbeat and so on and so forth. So I said, you know, but people that do are going to be kind of, this isn't exactly a whole record. And it's not. It's just kind of talking about how all these emotions, you know, everyone can't love, everyone's, you know, wanting to hate. And then it all just kind of dissipates and we're all just kind of left with, what do we have? And I think that's, you know, that's kind of been, at the time, that was kind of my view on some things. It's just kind of like, golly, it's just like, I still, you know, I feel like it's kind of, everything's kind of dissipated and you can't love, you know, and hate dies out anyway. And you just kind of sit there and just be lonely and not feel anything, be apathetic.
With the new album, Sea of Noise, it sounds like it was a very different recording process than your first album. And you were saying y'all sought out a specific producer for this one. What was the recording process and songwriting process like for this?
Very different than the first one. We really took our time, or I say took our time, took more than 5 days. And we really just kind of, I know it's me, like I sat down with the lyrics for a while. It wasn't something I just did, you know, I really sat down with it. And so I know with that was really great. Paul Butler, who produced the record, was awesome. We kind of told him the vision of the record and he bought into that and just really enhanced it, which is what a producer is supposed to do. And it was awesome. So it was really great. We had and the recording process was challenging at times, but you want it to be. You don't want it to be all super easy. We really, you know, we did a few things live. Then we would track drums and track vocals and you know, do that kind of style. And we just experiment a little bit more this go around the last time.
Well, how much of a force is faith in your life now? Many people do take comfort in that, whether, you know, they are an evangelical or maybe just an agnostic.
I would be very insincere if I said I was a practicing religious person. Because I'm not. But I do still find some peace in Christianity and things like that. My wife's Episcopalian. And I go there, you know, every so often, because it does bring me some sort of peace, and I think that's, you know, I think that's good. But I'd be lying if I said I was, you know, I was a practicing religious person.
So it's something that you kind of fell out of.
Yeah, it was. It was something I fell out of, you know, just for long. I fell out of love with it and then grew a lot of venom towards it. And then now I'm more, you know, I'm like, there's good people that go to church, you know. There are. And you know, when you it's kind of like a rebelling teenager in a way. You get so angry and you're so mad and you're like, why, you know, da 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 da, and you're like, well, the world's complicated. I don't mind trying to figure out those complications or living with those complications. And the church is no different. It's complicated. There are good things that are done. And you have to realize that. And not everybody that goes to church is a terrible person. And so I think working through that and getting through that was really important for me.
And it sounds like maybe that showed up on this record. It sounds like ultimately this is a collection of songs where you're not telling people you have the answers. You're just saying, here are the questions, and I don't think anybody has the answers right now.
Right. I think the whole point of life in general is redefining your questions. You know, because just to me, it's like, you know, sometimes you feel like every time you learn something, you realize how much you didn't know. I think that's, you know, the whole point.
Yeah. Well, Paul Janeway, thank you so much for speaking with us. You'll be here, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, December 14th at Track 29. Is there anything else you want to say?
I'm good.
Thank you, and looking forward to seeing you again in Chattanooga.
All right, thank you.
Your mouth, set my sail.